have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
And now it's time for our Faithful Financial Moments with Sister Sharon Richard.
This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. One of my favorite scriptures is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. The NIV version of the Bible reads as follows: Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. In managing our finances, God wants us to trust him and seek him for guidance. In order to achieve this, we must first understand that we are simply stewards over our finances. Every dollar that we make really belongs to God, and we must seek him on how to manage those dollars. In managing our finances, we are stewards. As stewards, we must learn and implement God's principles in managing the money that he has entrusted to us. Fulfilling stewardship responsibilities requires, number one, that we spend quality time in prayer with God, asking him for his wisdom with respect to the money that he has entrusted to us. Sometimes we think we should only ask the Lord's guidance on what we perceive to be the big things. But remember, God is concerned even about the little things. Don't hesitate to ask him for direction in all of your spending decisions. Number two, we must regularly study and meditate on God's word with respect to finances. There are more than 2,000 references to money in the Bible. As we study, God will reveal to us how we must allow the learning from our readings to manifest in our lives. As Joshua 1 and 8 tells us, keep this book of law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Number three, demonstrate your faith in God by trusting God to provide your needs and direct you according to his will. In Matthew 6, 31 and 33, Jesus tells us, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Make your commitment today to obtain God's peace in managing your finances and fulfilling your responsibilities as a steward. This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your Gospel News, followed by the Pastor's Corner with Bishop-elect Ernest Richard Jr., Apostle Irvin Whitlow, Apostle Vincent Smith, and company.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nina Taylor, and here's this week's Gospel News. The Chicago Mass Choir was founded in 1988 by James C. Chambers, who organized the famed Ecclesiastes Community Choir 17 years earlier. The first Chicago Mass Choir album, Right Now If You Believe, followed in 1991, with the group winning Best New Artist honors at the Gospel Music Excellence Awards in 1992. I Can Go to the Rock, from the second LP, Call Him Up, was named Song of the Year. The choir had one of the busiest years in 1994 when the group released a pair of albums, I'm So Grateful and Please Don't Leave Me. Additionally, Faranda Williamson, who was also a co-founder of ECC and had been soloist for that choir, assumed the role of Chicago Mass Choir's leader. Their albums for the remainder of the decade included Hold On, Don't Give Up from 1996 and Keep Your Mind on Jesus in 1998. During the 2000s, they issued a number of live recordings highlighted by Calling on You, live in 2001. The following decade brought a live recording. It was their 13th album to chart Billboard's Top Gospel Albums chart. Joshua Rogers is a remarkably skilled yet humble contemporary gospel artist from Greeleyville, South Carolina. The singer and songwriter was brought up in an apostolic church where his grandmother served as pastor. He also sang and played the drums. Rogers auditioned for the fifth season of BET Sunday Best and eventually won the competition, which led to a contract with Music World. Well Done, an EP featuring covers of songs originally recorded by the likes of Vanessa Armstrong, Andre Crouch, and Mary Mary, was released in November of 2012 and debuted at the top of Billboard's Gospel Albums chart. Unconditional, Roger's first proper album follows in October of 2013 with several originals co-written by Pierre Midor. Ricky Dillard was born and raised in Chicago, where he inherited a love for gospel music from his mother and his grandmother and started singing in the church choir at an early age. Dillard soon began directing the youth choir in his church, starting at the age of 5, and later the young adults choirs. It was around that time that Dillard came across two specific recordings that inspired him to pursue gospel singing even more zealously. James Cleveland and Aretha Franklin's Amazing Grace with the Southern California Community Choir and one by the Institutional Radio Choir from Brooklyn, New York. Shortly thereafter, Dillard began drawing inspiration from other gospel performers as well as and including Dr. Charles G. Hayes, Marvin Yancey and Thomas Whitfield, Bishop Albert Jameson and the Tribal Mass Choir. Dillard continued to direct choirs locally and was a member of the Thompson Community Singers. While continuing to study, learn, and perform gospel, Dillard actually began his recording career in the secular world. Always interested in advanced and compelling rhythmic charts and arrangements, Dillard was fascinated with the Windy City's house music scene during the mid-1980s. Gospel remained Dillard's heart-level passion, though he wanted to know how to record and how to bring truly contemporary musical expression into his own brand of gospel. BET announced the nominations for this year's award ceremony, taking place on Sunday, November 28th. In the category of Best Gospel Inspirational Award, the nominees are Brian Courtney Wilson, James Fortune, Kelly Price, Kirk Franklin, Maverick City Music, and Tasha Cobbs. Here's this week's Top 10 Gospel Songs. Number 10, Israel Newbreed, Hymn of Breakthrough. 9, T.J. Morton featuring Jay Moss, Repay You. 8, Pamela Mann, Help Me. 7, Mr. Talkbox, Never Leave You. 6, Damon Little, Stand Up. 5, Jonathan Nelson, Manifest. 4, Kiara Sheard and Karen Clark Sheard, Something Has to Break. 3, B.B. Winans, In Jesus' Name. 2, Jermaine Dolley, I'll Go. And our new number one song comes from Jason Nelson, Residue. Well, that's your top 10 songs and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor, reminding you to connect with me on all social media outlets. You can find all my outlets on my website at msninataylor.com. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station. Hello, I'm Nina Taylor, your gospel news reporter, and you're listening to The Pastor's Corner with my friend, Elder Ernest Richard, on Elation Radio.
Yes, and as always, you can hear my good friend Nina Taylor right here on the Pastor's Corner. And don't forget, she does have a wonderful gospel radio music show called The Gospel Express, of which I've been blessed to be a host, co-host of. And now at the same time, you can still hear that beautiful, beautiful, vivacious Sister Sharon Richard as she brings you your faithful financial moments. We're living in a day and age, folks, where we have to learn how to manage our finances, not because they're limited, but just because of the fact that being good stewards over that which God has placed us, we need to have some kind of insight as to how to move to the next level. Many of us want to be millionaires and billionaires, but we can't handle the couple of pennies that we own. Nonetheless, let's move on. Good evening to you, and to you also. This is the Pastor's Corner. I am your host, Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard Jr. on board today. Tonight we are going to first and foremost introduce our panelists, and tonight I think we're going to go freestyle because, you know, we're coming down to the close of the season and the close of the year, and I know Ladies Night is up next week. And to try to start a new series this late in the game, maybe we'll just hang out with this for a little bit. So let's find out who is here. As always, been with me since I invited him some 6-plus years ago. I want to say hello to my brother from another mother way down in the Peach State of Augusta, Georgia, Apostle Urban A. Whitlow, Jr. Bless you, sir.
I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you. But that's the corner. Oh, I can't sing that stuff. They don't know. I'm listening.
Who says you can't sing that stuff?
I'm just the one who say I ain't too proud to bed, but I ain't talking to you.
Well,
though. There's some woman who listening, and I'm just saying I ain't too proud to bed. Hallelujah.
All right. Well, whoever you are, young lady, please stay at your house and keep your undergarments to yourself. Let's move on. Anyway, going up to the city of New Haven, I want to welcome in my other brother from another mother, Apostle, Chief Apostle, if you get it right, Vincent L. Smith. Leroy!
ABC, won't you be with me? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
That's
hallelujah,
all right. You know.
Hallelujah. All right.
Let's get the party started,
and let's clap for Luba.
Amen.
Brother Ernest.
Now I'm going to go. Yes, sir.
There's a lot of snap, crackle, and pop in the line.
I'm hearing it, and it's coming from one or two places. If you're actually doing Facebook Live or any social media, that's what's causing it. I'm personally just on this phone line by myself, so I don't know who else is here, but we're going to find out. Let's just finish our lineup here. I want to go out to the Midwest on two occasions. First, let me stop in Indianapolis, Indiana, to see if my little baby sister is here, ready to put her 20 cents and 30 cents in and help you to understand the principles of holiness, rightness, and walking with Almighty God. I want you to say hello to Pastor Anna Henderson.
This is the day the Lord has made. I am rejoiced to be part of it. So glad to be a part of this panel. So glad to be a part of this panel.
Now, I'm going to ask this question. Did anybody hear a small tune in that? Maybe it was just me. I heard, this is the day that the Lord has made. I choose to be joyful and to be glad in it. Anyway, now let me check my other sister down in, again, the Georgia area from Atlanta. How about you, Minister Paula Henderson? Are you here? No Paula Henderson, going once. Going twice, that's all right. When she's able to make it, she is here, and I so appreciate her. Don't know if you're listening, my sister, but we pray, God, that you are having an awesome day as you take care of your business. Now, I do not at any time, I don't make her last just because it's like that. I often save the one who is the literal cleanup hitter for dead last because she's actually the producer of the show. And the originator, along with myself, of the Pastor's Corner. Please, 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 my dear people, let's welcome our producer and our sister, the lovely, vivacious Dr. Kimmy Robinson. How are you, my sister?
This is a great day, and I just want to say we are too blessed to be this, to be pressed. Amen, amen, amen. A lot of feedback, but it's all good.
All right, I like that. Well, listen, is there anybody else on the line? Now, I'm not sure where the feedback is coming from, Kimmy Kim, so you're going to have to find it and kind of try to do something with it because at this point, you know, I can't see a doggone thing, you know. But definitely.
You need to check again.
I just ask
the Atlanta
people
area,
not talking if they can mute their phone. Because it's only two other calls on, so.
Okay, well, I'm getting ready to find out who the other two callers are. I think I may know one of the two calls, and then I could be wrong. Let's find out. Sister Chanel Robinson, are you with us, my dear sister?
She's not here yet.
Oh, okay, she's not here yet. All right, we have other callers on, I'm told, so let me find out. I'm going to ask our other callers, if you would please, please, just identify yourself, even if you don't want to say much, at least give us the privilege of knowing who you are. Who else do we have on the line?
It's Felicia.
Oh, and I figured you would have gone to bed, sis. I do apologize, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, trust me, I'm almost there.
Here's our newbie, the baby of the bunch, my other baby sister. And by the way, I've got to make this announcement. This coming Saturday, Apostle designated, Apostle elect, however we want to call her, she is going to become an affirmed apostle in the Lord's church. Please, please, with a hearty hand clap, welcome my dear sister, Apostle Felicia Price. Bless you. Thank you so much for joining us. I do apologize. I wasn't trying to overlook you. I was assuming that you was going to get you some rest after the trying day that you have. Let me find out. Is there one more person on the line? No? Yes? I ain't show? Seek a Messiah. He shall.
There is. Everybody's unmuted. Everyone is unmuted. So some people come to listen.
Well, listen, we have not challenged what you're doing behind the scenes. We trust and believe that you're doing your very best. And if you're not doing your very best, we're going to have to break out the Holy Ghost belt and wail on you. No, we ain't going to be doing all that. Anyway, let's move. Let's move on. Now, listen, I'm going to share something with you, but before I do, Apostle Smith, if I can get you to pray us in. Tonight, we going freestyle. We just going to have general conversation. There's a lot to be talked about. Let's pray in first, and then we'll go from there, sir.
Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we thank you tonight. As we have come on this podcast, Lord, we pray tonight that we will minister into somebody's life as we have this discussion, this talk, Lord God, as we converse one with another concerning things of the kingdom, concerning things that we need to be aware of, Lord God, things that can lift us up and some that can end us up going down if we're not careful. But Lord, tonight, Lord God, word our mouth, direct our lips, and God, whatever you do, let it reach somebody's heart that does not know you, that they may turn their life over unto you and say, I now am a follower of Jesus Christ. And so, God, we thank you, we praise you for all things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Usually we would jump off with scripture and we give our opening statements and things of that nature. But panels, let's talk tonight. Let me share something with you. And there are some of us on this line who are or have been dealing with the storms of life. Now, there is a passage of scripture, I believe it's found, if I'm not mistaken, in Mark, I think it's chapter 4, when Jesus sent the disciples across the ocean, or was sending them across the lake, and they had encountered a storm in the process of going, and they started working really hard trying to make their way to the other side. Jesus stood on the shore, according to another gospel, saw what was going on, and began to walk out, not directly to them, but literally walked past them. And in walking past them, the disciples started freaking out. And I think I got the wrong story because basically, no, that is not where I wanted to go. I wanted to go with the one where Jesus was in the ship with them, and he went to sleep, and they encountered the storm. We can use both of them, but the one I really wanted to focus in on was when Jesus was in the stern of the ship, and he was asleep. I don't have my Bible in front of me. And Apostle Whitlow, I'm going to need you to be ready to go to the helm because when I tell my story, you'll understand why in just a few minutes. But anyway, as they were trying to get across, one of the disciples went down, I believe it was Peter, and he went down there and he said, Jesus, I'm paraphrasing, folks. I'm not going to get all deep. I'm going to say, he said, Jesus, don't you care that we's about to die? Jesus wakes up, sits up, stands up, goes up, looks up, and then says these words, peace, be still. Our topic tonight for general discussion, and I'm going to put it in general discussion, is how to quell the storms of life. How to quell the storms of life. Something else I wanted to bring up, and I shared this with Apostle Whitlow a little earlier. There was a videotape, and I know the tape's probably about, it's got a touch of age on it, probably about 7-8 months old, of one, our dear sister Leandria Johnson, when she had gotten fed up with the church. Apparently the church had worked her last nerve, and in the process of working her last nerve, she had a few choice words for the church. I would encourage you to go to YouTube. Leandria Johnson says, F the church. I think that's the title of it. Am I right, Apostle Whitlow? Was that what the title was?
I'm not certain if that was the title, but certainly that was the conversation.
She had gotten fed up with the church and began to curse at the church. And I'm going to be honest with you, she wasn't cursing at the church. She was actually spitting in God's face. But I'm going to leave that right there because we're not here to talk about her specifically. What I want to focus in on is how do you quell the storms of your life? So here is question one. What can we deem a legitimate storm as opposed to a storm that we have created? Anybody want to tackle that one first? Don't everybody jump on it.
First, whenever I think of a storm, I personally think of certain types of trials, whereas I do know that trials do come. But there are certain kinds that seem to be a little beyond what would be considered normal or fiery. I'm talking about something that seems to be rocking our life. It might be financial, might be relational, it might be physical, it might be emotional, it might be some other type, but I think of it on that wise, and, you know, and sometimes you're sitting there saying, Lord, what have I done? And not only what have I done, but where are you at in such a thing like this? Because this just don't make no sense. I mean, I've had them things where I've said, Lord, this just don't make no sense. Matter of fact, where you at, Lord, because this ain't what you promised. You promised me something different. So this don't make no sense. That's what I'm going to say, and I'm going to hold off right there.
All right. Anybody else? I don't want to do a specific order. I want you to come up, step to the mic, and speak your piece. Anybody else want to join that party?
I think the mouth of others calls a storm.
Okay. All right.
The mouth,
talk to me.
Definitely the mouth of others saying what they don't know, saying what they think they know, and making up the rest. It causes a storm, an unpeaceful storm, until the right thing comes along. That's enough on that.
All right. Anybody else?
Brother, can you repeat the question?
The question is, well, we're talking about, let's put it this way, and this will be the best way for you to handle it. How do you quell the storms in your life? But first of all, is the storm that you're dealing with a God-bred storm, or is it a storm that was created? Well, I'm going to add another part to it, because now that you asked that, is it a storm that you've created, or is it a storm that someone else created? And I threw that in there because of what Apostle Smith just said. You understand what it is now? Did I lose everybody?
No, I'm here.
All right. Well, come on, sis. I heard you. I was waiting to hear from you.
Yes. I think it can be both. Storm, a golf storm, and it can be just the storm of life itself. And as the Papa Smith said, you know, storms brought on from others as well. So the combination of different types of storms that occur in our life at different times, but knowing that God is able to, that God, I think for me, is knowing that God is with you, and when the storm comes up, it gives comfort and helps you to endure the storm. Even though, as Apostle Wiggles said, that sometimes you don't always understand what's wrong, but just the fact to know that he's in the storm with you, that can navigate you through the storm, helps you to go through the storm.
All right, well, we're jumping the gun just a little bit, but okay, we'll accept it because it's already out there. Apostle Felicia, Apostle Flight, are you with us?
I'm here.
Talk to me. God-bred storm, you're man-made, meaning you're the creator of the storm, or someone else is the problem, or someone else is the cause of the storms in your life.
I'm going to pick, well, that wouldn't really be considered a storm, but God can cause some things to happen in your life to get your attention, to get you on the right track, to get you back focused, just speaking from experience.
Okay.
It's like a shock wave happening. Listen, I need you to not focus on that, but I need you to stay in tune to this, and that's the word that I've been getting for the past 2 weeks. You focus on the wrong stuff. Focus on this right here. I mean, when I drift away from focusing on what I'm supposed to, bam, something happens to remind me this is where you're supposed to be, not over there.
All right now.
So.
All right.
Yeah.
And okay. And I'm glad you said that, because we are going to talk about that first, but let me get Dr. Kimmy Robinson's take on the three types of storms we're talking about: a God-bred storm, a man-led storm. When I say man-led, meaning something that you created, or a storm that some. Well, I could say man-led, a storm that someone else just, you know, by word of their mouth, by way of their mouth, and or their actions created a problem for you. What do you say?
All three, because it says in the Bible, it rains on the just and unjust, and you're going to have those who will hate on you. Let's look at Jesus. He went through all three. They chose him over Barabbas. And
they chose
Barabbas
over him, you meant.
Yeah, that too. You know what I mean.
We know what you
also
meant, but I'm just saying, for those who are listening.
Will you stop interrupting me? Jeez, I'm about
will
to
you
get
stop
my
and get
off.
It correct? See, she about to start a storm right now. If they chose Jesus over Barabbas, Barabbas would have been crucified, but that didn't happen. Go ahead.
They chose Barabbas over Jesus, for one. That's a storm that was caused by man. Secondly, there are times when we can, like we talk about Luke 12:16. Sometimes we cause our own storms when we become so egotistical to the point where we think we are God. Thirdly, God allows, you know, storms to come. It says in the Word that when you submit yourself to the Lord, you're going to have your cross. So I really believe it's all three of them. And I really also believe that if you're not getting tested, then there is something wrong too, because it says that you're going to be tried and tested because they did that to Jesus. So you will, but the good news is that he fights on our behalf. And so when we learn that we have the best weapon, which is the word, and most importantly, Jesus fighting on our behalf, we can really continue on this focus. I mean, it's hard because storms comes, and then by the time you finish that storm, then here comes another one. So it's like you're never getting a break at times. But one thing I have come to realize, that storm comes because God allows it, and secondly, he trusts you with that storm.
All right. Well, you said a mouthful right there. I say this for this reason, and I'm going to share, and I agree that there are three levels of storms that can break out in an individual's life. When we first get saved, when we first give our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, we were not promised a bed of roses. And Paul even said to Timothy, I believe it was to Timothy, he said, yea, and all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And I know he's talking about those storms because of who it is you are related to, who it is you are associated with. I recognize that. The storms that men can produce or create, you know, let's go back to the Pharisees in creating a type of storm for the Lord Jesus Christ. But that was God-led, God-bred, and I'm saying it this way because had Judas not been the one to turn Jesus in, we would not have had this opportunity to be redeemed through his blood. Now, that last one I'm talking about, those individuals that they hating on you, they can't stand to see your success. They want to see you fall. I've got to say this. There are multiples out there that pretend to be your friend, that pretend to like you, that pretend to want to be with you, that pretend to be on the same page as you. They call themselves walking with you, and they're watching every step that you make and looking for the perfect opportunity to be a quote-unquote Judas Iscariot in your life, where they're going to walk up to you with the traitor's kiss, and they're going to make sure that other people target you over something that they may have said. I said this on The Voice just this past Tuesday, so I'm going to bring that back in here. David wrote in Psalms 55, if I'm not mistaken, it was not my enemy that reproached me, for then I would have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, for then I would have hid myself from him. It turns around and continues to talk. It was you, my brother. We had sweet communion. We walked together, talked together. I shared the secrets of my life. I told you things that I ain't never told anybody else. I'm not sure how it got into the gossip column of the church world, but I walked into church this afternoon and folks was looking at me like some kind of crazy, like I might have just stole something or killed somebody, and then it got leaked back to me that they heard, and what they heard was something I told you in secret. So I'm bringing these things up now and talking about quelling the storms of life. I had this situation today, and let me pull this thing together so it makes some sense to you guys. I had a situation today. Now, many of you know I drive a truck. I'm retired, actually, but every now and then I get back into the truck, and every now and then I'll drive for myself. I'm supposed to be training somebody, and apparently the person quit. Maybe I was that tough. I don't know. Maybe they just couldn't take it. I'm not sure what the story was. Nonetheless, I was left with the task of finishing out the schedule that we had. This past Tuesday, I went to, and I don't mind mentioning the company because I'm throwing them under the bus on this one. No, I ain't going to do that because, you know, God can't work on my behalf if I turn around and decide to take matters into my own hand. This particular company took almost 12 hours to load my truck. This was this past Tuesday. On my way from that first warehouse down to the warehouse where I needed to make a delivery, two tires blew out and one tire was ready to blow out. Once again, I believe God kept me because had all them tires blown out at about the same time, y'all would be listening and talking about me on the news. But to God be the glory. Let's move to another area. When I finally got the tires fixed and got down here, come to find out that the person who arranged for the appointment to be made an appointment for 8 p.m. last night. I showed up here at 9 a.m. this morning. I've been sitting in this one place since 9 o'clock this morning waiting for these people to unload this truck so I could come home and get myself ready to take off for Atlanta. Now, the reason why I chose to talk about storms is sometimes we can, with our mouth, we can be snared by the words of our mouth. We could turn around and make a bad situation even worse. But then there are times when we have to know how to properly speak in the midst of the storm. And you heard me mention two different incidences, one where Jesus was asleep in the stern of the ship, and I'm going to deal with that one second, but I want to deal with the first one I made mention of, where okay, mister, you want to hit me, or what you going to do here, baby? A guy driving up on me with bright lights, like he's going to just run right into a brother. I'm telling you. Anyway, but the other one I made mention of, basically, when we talk about Jesus sending them across the sea, the Gennesaret Sea, and they're rowing, the storm comes up, and they find themselves in the midst of a struggle. These are, I think four of them were seasoned fishermen. So they should know how to weather a storm. They should know how to handle the storm. But sometimes, even if we know how to do something, there are points and times in life where even with all that we know, these two are going to hit each other, and then they're going to run into me. Can I tell y'all, we're trying to do a radio show, and even nobody was moving up until it was time to do this show. Y'all know that? Now all of a sudden everybody's moving like a pack of ants. Anyway, don't let me complain, y'all. Stop me in my tracks, okay? I'm trusting y'all to help keep a brother on track here. But getting back to what I'm saying, sometimes we could find ourselves in a position where even though we know what we know, yet and still we can't seem to bring that storm under control. Has anybody ever been there? Anybody? Or is it just me by myself?
Yes.
Talk to me.
I've been there many times.
Talk to me.
Because there are times you want to take matters into your own hands, and because God sometimes takes too long, you know. And you know, one of the things that I'm asking God to work on is my stubbornness and my impatience. So please keep me in your prayers. sometimes God takes too long, and I had to learn that His ways are not my ways, and His thoughts are not my thoughts. So I have come to realize, let it go. If it's meant to be, God will work it out. But back in the days, in my growth, I have not arrived by all means. There are times I still can get there, but I ask God to keep me each day. I have not arrived. But I am more mature than I was many years ago. But I have not arrived.
Amen. All right now.
But yeah, I used
Apostle
to keep
Whitlow,
the,
I'm gonna go ahead. I'm gonna need you to take over, Apostle Whitlow, because finally the truck is unloaded. After 12 hours of sitting, the truck is unloaded. Mm. Hallelujah.
Okay.
I'm gonna say this before I go on mute. The storm is over. But now it's actually raining, so let me get out of here. Go ahead, Apostle.
You know, Dr. Kimmy, you said something really profound, and that is that you struggle with being patient. And in the midst of, because you said because God takes too long. And it's not that God takes too long. It is a matter that we want God to do it when we want Him to do it, as opposed to when He determines He wants to do it. See, what we have to understand is God deals with time the same way we deal with furniture. Hear me again. God deals with time like we deal with furniture. So when we shift furniture around because we want a different look, God is shifting time around to do something different. But because we're in the storm, we think, okay, well, God, you must want me to deal with this by myself. Because sometimes we feel like we're literally in the storm by ourselves. But the reality is, and Bishop Elect mentioned this, that Jesus was on board. It does not matter what Jesus was doing. The fact that He was on board should be enough. Now, here's my question to anybody. Why is it that we know that God promises never to leave us nor forsake us? Why do we still panic when we see the winds raging and the waves beating against the ship? Why do we still panic when we know that he's still on board? Somebody talk to me.
Because we're walking on water and we're looking back. Help me now. We think we're in a major storm, and sometimes I'm talking about myself. Sometimes I can think that I can hurry up the solution, and when I try to do that, the solution becomes cancerous, and that's when I really start, asking God to please take me out of the hole. So, yeah, it's because of that reason for me.
Anyone else? We got some quiet folk tonight.
It's the flesh. It's the flesh trying to be in control. Trying to be in power. We know God got the power, but some kind of way, at times, we feel left out. Where's my pardon? What am I supposed to be doing now? And we got our flesh in front of God.
Okay. Anyone else?
I think I say it like this, is that I think that you panic because at that moment that you, I guess it is part of the flesh, but you begin to look at your inability to be able to be in control or the inability to be able to fix the problem. And so you take your eyes off of the Lord and begin to put your eyes on yourself. And you begin to think of that you don't have the ability to do what needs to be done at that moment. So then the flesh begins to panic or try to come up with answers. But failing to realize that God is with you, it takes the responsibility off of yourself and puts it back on him. But the minute you put it on yourself, you begin to recognize the inability that you have over the wind, the wave, or whatever the storm may be, it appears to be out of control, which it most likely is, and it takes God to fix it. So that's why we have to put our eyes back on him and recognize with him you have victory in the storm, not by yourself, but with him there is victory.
Apostle Fife, I haven't heard from you in a minute. Come on, talk to me.
Oh, my God. Y'all got to come back to me on that one, because that was deep. I'm sorry.
So, I like what you said, Apostle Smith. We try to do it in our flesh. But I thought I read a scripture that says that the arms of flesh will fail you. I thought that's what I saw in scripture. So if the arms of flesh will fail you, then we ought not even try to handle it in the flesh. We ought not try to look at it in the flesh. I think the real thing is learning how to keep our eyes on the Lord. But just not keeping our eyes on the Lord, but keeping our ears open to his word. We see where Peter, and I'm just different about this. Peter decided that he wanted to change his assignment. He didn't want to go to the other side because the storm seemingly made him want to go another direction. And let me park right there. Your storm is designed to get you to stop, to pull over, or to even change directions. What do you think about that, Apostle Smith? Your storm is designed to make you stop, pull over, or change directions.
Well, that is the design of the storm. The storm comes to give you opposition. The storm comes, that's why the storm, you look at both storms. There was contrariness about the wind and the way. Anything contrary comes your way, it comes to oppose you. It comes to make you, you're on your way to something great, but it comes to see, can it hinder you? Can it stop you? Can it slow you down? Can it back you up and make you miss what God is intending for your life? And the sad thing about it is that when we take the flesh walk instead of the spiritual walk and go towards the storm, the enemy backs us up, and we wonder why it's taking so long. And God knows, as Apostle Blake said, well, all of us are guilty of that. Lord, why are you taking so long? Why do I have to stay in this so long? But really, if we tell the truth, we're in it seemingly long because we have not come to the place where God wants us to be. We're stuck in contrariness when God is saying, he told us before we left, go to the other side. Mm-hmm. We're not focused on what God said. We're focused on physical things that's keeping us from where he says you can go.
Okay. So then my next question is, how in the midst of the storm can we regain focus? Because I'm sure somebody's listening tonight. Somebody's dealing with a storm. By the way, this time of year, we are in the holiday season. It is the holiday season that suicide numbers go up, and it stays up until resurrection. Okay? So somebody right now is in a storm. They're thinking, I need to end my life. That's their mindset. How can we help them with the storm that they're in to focus on the Lord? How can we help them? Anybody? Come on, y'all talking to
somebody.
You said,
how can they refocus? Ask that last question.
How can we help them to refocus?
Well, I think it's reassurance in God's word that it will never fail. No matter what storm we go through, we can always go back to the word to find guidance, to find security, to find protection. Everything that we need while going through the storm is in the word. I think we look for people to give us assurance. We look for people to encourage us. But I remember somewhere around the scripture, it says sometimes you got to encourage yourself in the Lord. So there's always a scripture out there, whether it be somebody who's mourning a death of a loved one, whether it be somebody who is going through a breakup, whether it be sickness, anything that the storm has come to derail us to and from, there's a scripture out there for it. Everything we can possibly need is right there in that book before leaving this earth. It's right there. It's right there.
Let me ask this question to Pastor Henderson. Pastor Henderson, is it possible for someone to refocus on the Lord without the scripture? Because according to Apostle-elect Flight, she said that the scripture gives reassurance, so they have to get back into the word. So is it possible to bring people back into the focus in the midst of their storm without the word? Pastor Henderson?
Okay, my phone was on mute. I apologize. Yes, well, the word is life-giving, and God is his word. I believe that everything we need is in the word of God, but also man is made in the image of God, and there is a consciousness of God even, you know, in everyone. I believe that there is a consciousness on the inside. And even if you don't know the word verbatim, or maybe you don't know a whole lot of the word, but you know God exists, and know that God is, that he exists, that he loves you, and that he's a God that means you well, just to have that knowledge of God, enough to turn your attention back toward him, because since God is God, and he's all-powerful, and he's creator of all things, so he's the creator of any storm. He's also creator of the calmness and can be given to you. And I say that because there are some who probably don't know the word, but there is a God. There's a God. There's a God consciousness there's a God consciousness in everyone. And if they just call on the name of the Lord, he said, I will answer you. So if you just call on his name, you just call on him because he's real. He will hear your cry. And so I believe that we need the word of God because the word of God helps to redirect our thoughts. We are minds renewed by the word of God. But if you're lacking in the word of God, you don't have a lot of word of God, I do encourage you to pick up the word of God and to read it and to renew your mind with the word of God. But for that one who is right in the midst of a situation and you don't have the word of God, if you call on the Lord with a sincerity of heart, I believe the Lord will hear you and you begin to redirect your thoughts and redirect your direction of your life.
What do you think, Apostle Smith?
Without the word, it's going to be impossible to really bring somebody where they need to go, give them what they need to do to help, to encourage them to make it where God wants them to make it. Because the word is a roadmap. And so if you don't give them the word, you're just talking because you have given them no direction and no real help to make it where they need to go.
I want to say that I also believe that as well. The Bible lets us know that the word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathways. So it is the direction of life. But I do also believe, and I have known, you know, that there are people who don't have a lot of the word. And so there may be someone who may not even know the word, but they have a knowledge that there is a God, that God loves them. They might have just heard, heard the word at some point in their life. Maybe they can't quote it verbatim. Maybe they don't have it verse by verse, and they don't have it all right, you know, the way that we know it, the way believers may know the word of God. But what you do know is enough to call on his name, you know, and to trust him in the midst of that. Because there are so many situations where people have called on him and they're in desperation. All they knew was, Lord, if you're really there, you know, I want you to help me. And that's all they knew to say. And God heard their cry. And God turned their life, began to turn their life. And then they needed the word to sustain them, to keep them in the right direction. And then the Lord begins to bring people in their life, begin to teach about the word and teach about their relationship with him. And so every scenario is so different, but I really believe that you call out to the Lord in sincereness of heart, I believe God will hear your cry and he will be your help.
Okay. Find help in the Lord in the time of storm. Now, when this poor bishop-elect had to go on mute, he said, the storm is over. All right. So when the storm is over, how do we stop reliving the effects of the storm? Can anybody tell me? Because, you know, storm comes through. It does damage, knocks down things, you know, move things over. How do we, and some people, for some people, it's a painful thing. You know, we don't discard it, but how do we deal with the aftermath? That's my question. How do we deal with the aftermath of the storm? Come on, somebody talk to me. What do you think?
Still
have how do
to
we
stay
deal?
Rooted and grounded, though. You must remain rooted and grounded. Just because the storm is over, don't look. They're still, you know, after a hurricane or after after an earthquake, you still have some turbulence. You still got to stay rooted and grounded. You don't come unrooted and grounded just because, you know, the major effect of it has passed. No, you stay connected.
Mm-hmm. Okay, anybody else?
I believe you can also, as you move forward, you learn from your mistake and you, you know, you ask God for wisdom. And at the same time, you're in the recovery period. Sometimes your recovery is asking for forgiveness, getting help, or fellowshipping with other believers, or fasting and praying. And then the recovery stage tends to, you know, it depends on the person, how long they stay there. And then sometimes God allows you to learn from it, and sometimes it may come back. I mean, storms will come and go and come and go. That's just part of who we are. We are storms survivors, and I'm still reminded that he would never place more on us than we can bear, and he said that he would never leave us nor forsaken us. So with that being said, we move on in the storm, no matter what we're faced, because I'm still reminded how Job kept his faith. And, I mean, for him to lose so much, and then he got double for his trouble. So that is a prime example of what to do. And we do have my sister, Chanel Robinson, on.
All right.
Okay, come on, Bishop Elect.
No. I am with you. You're in control. I'm still trying to deal with a few things. Folk want to talk to me when nobody called me all day long. I'm trying not to catch an attitude. So go ahead, keep going.
Whatever you do, don't create a storm. Don't create a storm. Amen. Listen. There are so many things that you learn from the storm, but I think a lot of people have yet to determine how to deal with the aftermath. And I think that is crucial at this point. And I like what you said, Apostle Elect. You got to still stay grounded. You got to still stay grounded. But there are some people, they're finding it hard to stay grounded, and they're losing their grip, and they're like, I tried this, and I tried that, but it still seems to be getting the best of me, because that's how people end up stuck. They go through a storm, right, and they end up stuck. They're trying to figure out, how do I get back on track? How do I get my focus back?
You can.
How do I stay back? How do I do it? Because, oh, this doesn't happen, and that doesn't happen.
I would also say to be connected to some people that are rooted and grounded. You got to have that godly connection. Somewhere in Proverbs, it talks about godly counsel. You know, we can't just go and talk to everybody, you know, about a storm or whatever, because everybody can't handle what you experience. They just can't, you know, life experience, personal experience. Everybody cannot handle where you're going, everybody cannot handle what you've been through. So you need to be connected mm-hmm. with somebody who's what the older generation say, a seasoned saint, one who you can trust that won't, your business won't go, you know, all willy-nilly on social media and stuff. But you've got to talk to somebody who you can trust. That's very important. you know, loose lips sink ships. Get you somebody who don't really know me, brother, but that's true now. Get with somebody who you can trust to talk to. Ask God, you know, pray that God send you godly connections, because that has been my prayer for the past, what, we're now in the 11th month of the year. That's been my prayer since January. I need some godly connections. I need some people that know God for real, so that when I'm going through, they can pray me through, and when they're going through, I can pray them through.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. Good. Having good surroundings, good people who are godly, not just good, but godly people, which makes a very big difference. Godly people who can keep you in the Word, who can keep you strengthened. Because you know what? It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing to be drained by people who also derail you when you're trying to get over what you're trying to get over. Oh, boy, that's a bad thing. When you got, I'm trying to tell you, you trying to help folks, and they done drained you, they done pulled everything out of you, and you just come through what you done come through, and you're like, Lord, if you don't help me, now they're trying to derail you because you're trying to get somewhere. And now you're like,
but
Lord, Jesus, if you don't help, come on.
No, I was going to say, but now you understand why I made mention of Psalms 55 and what David said, because that's the absolute what was going on. And it was his own son, Absalom, was trying to derail him. I mean, here it is. Your father's the king of Israel. What is it that you're going to go against your own father and try to derail him and take him out of his element? Do you not realize that you are actually going to do damage to yourself in the process? Some folk don't think about that, you know? All they know is for that moment with that hat, that two-thirds or 3 gallons of Haterade they drinking, all they know is all they want to do is get you out of the picture as fast as possible. I'm gonna take this to another level here. Relationships. Y'all remember that song by the OJs, Backstabbers? They smile in your face all the time. They want to take your place, the backstabbers. We deal with that in this day and age. I remember when I was a lot younger, and the young lady I was dating, she was a pretty young lady. I got to give credit where credit was due. She was a pretty young lady. But some of the more popular boys in the school felt like I wasn't a perfect match for this woman. And they would try to talk to her on the side. One of them got bold enough to try to talk to her in my face. And during that time, I didn't really know what to do, because I definitely wasn't going to try to fight the most popular guy in school, because you know he had his little entourage. Y'all know how that works, right? But I just thank God that I was at the time dating a young lady who had enough grace about herself to tell him, look, I'm with him right now, you know? So there ain't no chance for you and me. Of course, that didn't set well with him, and this went on and 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 on. But after a while, I got enough courage to say, look, sucker, back the hell up. Y'all excuse my French, but I didn't say back the hell up. I said another word. I don't want to say the other word, because we are Christians here. We might get raw, real, and relevant, but we ain't going to use certain words. But, you know, I said back the father up. That's what I said. Anyway, bottom line, I said back to father. I want to make sure you know I said father. Yeah, 14, 15 years old trying to cuss like a sailor, you know. But anyway, the bottom line is this. The only way I was able to quell that particular storm was to actually confront the storm, go face to face with it. I didn't have a choice, you know. I mean, not that I was getting ready to lose my girlfriend. It's just the fact that he was annoying her, and he had already annoyed me. And because you're that popular in school, and what made it so difficult for me was this guy, I don't know if he was a captain on the football team, kind of a muscular guy, you know, but I wasn't too bad myself, but I was a swimmer, two different types of muscles, so you could see how that is. And in where I came from in the inner city, black people were not famous for swimming, but I was one. So I'm going to leave that right there for the moment. I'd only said that to get to the fact that, you know, this is why I said what I said when Apostle Flight said what she said. The bottom line is there are folk who are waiting and looking for an opportunity to take you down. That's their whole game plan. Make sure that you fall flat on your face. Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
No, you're talking good.
But Whitlow,
come on.
I think one of the things about people who make it through the storm, they do not, and I'm agreeing with what was said, but they do not find a group of serious prayer warriors.
Mm-hmm.
After the word brings you back, there's nothing like getting in a serious prayer group, prayer, and also give you more words to help you stand after the storm. And so to just come back and be back and then not put yourself in the midst of some good prayer warriors that can give you good wisdom of the word and how to move forward in God, you'll be right back at step one if you're not careful. But you need some counselors. You need some mentors. You need somebody that's going to help you on your Christian journey to make it where you need to be and help you stay in that path that God has set for you.
I like
Amen.
That. Go ahead.
It's a need.
Go ahead.
That makes a necessity, a need. You need. Listen, that's the thing. Let me tell you something. There are some people I wouldn't want to be in a storm with. I want to just tell you, there are some folk I don't want
to
see because some folk might, and some people might actually leave me in the storm to die. Oh, boy, because there are folk who will
can
do
I,
that.
Can I address that, sir? I want to address it this
address
way.
Address it.
We are in the army of the Lord. Am I right, everybody? Everybody agrees with that? What is it that... We're in the trenches as believers. Why is your weapon pointed at me? Explain to me what I've done to you that your weapon. Yeah, explain to me. We're supposed to be on the same side, the same team. That's almost like, and I'm going to use a sports analogy, and you'll understand this. That's like the quarterback who's playing for the home team. And he keeps throwing the ball directly right in the chest of the defending team on purpose. What kind of nonsense is that? Or that's like
I
army
want to
individual.
See you get forward.
Yeah, well, see, the thing about it is, you know, and I only use that analogy, and I'm going to use this one too. An actual armed serviceman in the middle of a war, and I've heard stories about these kinds of things, and when we talk with Brother Otis Gabriel again, I want to ask him about that. I've understood that some American soldiers shot their own people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And during the Vietnam War, I heard some of these American soldiers, 58,000 people didn't die at the hands of the Korean army. I think they died at the hands, some of them, a percentage of them, died at the hands of their own parts.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, spiritually speaking, when we're trying to move forward, I heard this said before, and I'm going to repeat it because it bears repeating. If you're moving into the arena of success, be prepared to go by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Simply be prepared to go by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can't trust you, trust the God in you, don't look to trust your brother who's standing next to you, because at some point their success is going to make that your success, excuse me, is going to make them jealous. Do something that's going to, like you said, cause you to be derailed. And in the beginning, mm-hmm. it won't look like it. All right, I'll give you a great example. You know, you become a pastor. And let's say your best friend is there when the installation takes place, the whole 20 yards. Now you're preparing to move the flock into another area of evangelism, and you're going to expand the church. And so the church starts growing. That said be friend, or that said be one that's close to you, working right alongside you, sees this. And just like the devil himself, iniquity is found in his heart, and he raises himself up. So now what do you do with him? Now he's talking behind your back to other parishioners. Well, I'm getting ready to go open the church, and you don't have to stay here because he don't treat you fair. He don't give you ample time to preach, won't let you teach Bible study. And how do you know that individual's ready for all that? You don't just bring somebody into ministry and then throw them in the fire. You got to nurture them. But he don't see that. He's trying to coax them into coming with him so that he can make a shipwreck of his faith and their faith. I'm sorry. That's just something I kind of went through some years ago. I don't know if any of y'all had that experience, but I'm going to leave that alone.
I went through that too now. So you ain't in the ship by yourself.
Well, it's so good to know that somebody
people,
else has got an oar.
People, what I've learned, just again, I can only speak for from personal experience. Even right now, and I think I've had conversations with a couple of people on this line. I wanted to know why those who said that they love God as much as I did, or I do rather, why are they so angry with me because of my elevation, my affirmation? Why do you hate me? Why are you spreading lies about me? Why are you? I don't understand it. I don't. But it's not meant for me to understand. I have to go through it to get to the other side.
Amen.
So it's teaching me this whole thing that I've been experiencing for the last, 2.5 months has taught me a valuable lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them I'm not going to even mention on this line, but it has taught me that my relationship and my intimacy with God needs to go a little deeper.
Amen.
Because I should not be distracted about what's going on the outside, because I'm not concerned about what goes on the outside. My concern is on the inside. People can't.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. People can never see you beyond where they are.
People don't
want to see you beyond where they are. They, as long as I was elder, they was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Apostle elect, oh, you got a whole attitude. And for what?
All right. Now, look at this. I would say this, and excuse me, Apostle Whitlow, I don't mean to cut across you, but let me throw this, and this is what I'm learning. And, you know, right now they're hearing bishop-elect, and, you know, there's that certain sect. You come out of this particular denomination, and there's just a handful. It ain't a lot of people. Just one, and I don't pay much attention to what folks say. I got to remind people, if you've poured nothing into me, don't think you're going to get anything out of me. But the lesson that I've learned, my dear sister and my dear brothers, is I've got to grow through what I go through. Regardless of what it is, mental, emotional, physical, or financial, I've got to grow through it. Just because I'm taking an L does not mean I'm taking a loss. I don't not take a beat. See, sometimes we look at a loss as something that, you know, as something that we'll never get back. That's not necessarily true. Sometimes the L stands for a lesson in life, and you have to know how to take that lesson in life and apply it to what you're doing. You don't want to make in the area of marriage, you get married, and it might have been for the wrong reasons. It might have been the wrong woman, whatever the case may be. The truth of the matter is, when you're going through the process of that divorce, and everybody and their grandmama knows that a divorce is as if somebody died. A part of you just dissipates. But in that lesson right there for marriage, you have to recognize what it is that murdered the marriage. You have to recognize what was the cause of it, you know? And then if you decide to get back up again and get married again, make sure you do not have that baggage stacked in your closet somewhere. you know, and be fair to the person that's coming behind the one you're divorcing, because it's not right for that person to have to bear the brunt of what it is you went through in the previous marriage. Too many times we see divorce only because of the fact that folk have not learned how to quell those storms in their life. Maybe she was argumentative. Did you ever think the fact that you might have said something that might have sparked an argument in her? Don't be so quick to blame her. Look at yourself. That's what they got mirrors for. I'm sorry. I sound like I'm going off the deep end. Let me come back in. Go ahead, Apostle.
You said so many things that are good. But what I was thinking is that, and I remember when it was time for me to be affirmed apostle, I'm telling you, everyone who I thought was my friend, I discovered they weren't. Oh, they couldn't stand me. They talked against me. They said all manner of evil against me. And it was days before my affirmation, literally, and consecrators were backing out. No, I can't do this. I don't know what I'm going to get paid. I don't know what's going to be for me. And I went through some things, and I was like, but, Lord, this is what you told me. I know this is what you told me. So what's going on? And then the Lord spoke to me. He said, well, here's the first issue. You called everybody but who I told you to call. That got
that's a whole other discussion right there.
Ooh, come on, sir.
That's a whole nother discussion right there.
It goes back to this. The storms sometimes that we go through are the things we create for ourselves, because we chose to do something that God really didn't
tell us not to
do.
My.
But I'm so glad that God is a God of other chances. I'm going to leave that there because that's a whole other subject. You know,
he said other,
the
not
good
second,
news,
other.
Other. Because we blew our second chance, and many of us blew our 50th. But God yet gives us other. He gives us other. Lord, that's why I'm so glad that I love him. I'm so glad that because he gives
Hallelujah.
Us other chances.
Yes.
When I was set, met us up, and we start sinking. He gives us other chances. He gives us other chances. And to me, that's some good news. And I'm going to leave that right there. Listen, Bishop. And like, I'm going to turn it back into your hands because I feel a preach coming on me, and I ain't trying to preach tonight.
Well, ouch. That's quite all right. Apostle Smith, you were about to say something? Apostle Smith still with us?
I thought he was.
Muted. Anyway, I know I heard him get ready to say something, but okay.
Let's go on. Reason. His phone dropped.
Oh, my Lord. Okay, he'll be back hopefully, and when he does, just get him back up. All right, ladies, let me throw something at the three of you, and I'm going to start with you, Sister Kimmy Kim, then I need you in, Pastor Henderson, and finally, Apostle Flight, I need you. And I want to go on the relationship side. Here's a storm that we hardly, rarely ever want to talk about. Here's the story. Here's the scenario. You've been serving the Lord over the last 5 years. I'm going to make it real short. And Sister Chanel, you're here too, so I need to get your opinion on this. You've been serving the Lord over the past 5 years. Suddenly you meet what you think is Mr. Right. Okay? Debonair, very intelligent, seems to be spiritual. All the things that you're looking for in a man. And you spend the next few months kind of getting to know each other. But you notice this dude has issues with his mom. He has issues with his sisters. He has issues with his female cousins, as if he needs to dominate them. How do you handle that storm? Because in your mind you're saying, this guy don't treat his mother. Why would I want to hang around and be with him? So how do you handle it, lady?
I'm gonna be like Forrest. I'm gonna run, Forrest, run. Yeah, pray. I've been in that spot before. It won't happen again.
Yeah,
I will be running.
God. Talk to me about it. Talk to us about
because
it. Because
if he doesn't know how to treat
show
his,
right now.
His own mother who gave birth to him, how will he be able to treat me? I mean, this is the woman that kept you in her stomach for 9 months, and she brought you up to become the person you are, and you're not showing her any love or respect. So that is a big sign, especially from the mom for me, or the person who raised you. Yeah.
All right, Sister Chanel, let me get you in second because I've heard you, but I didn't hear you. Welcome, by the way.
Okay. Well, I agree with Kim. Definitely I'm going to run because if he doesn't respect his mom, but I do know this sometimes. I look at least three different things. I just don't look at how he treats his mom because sometimes, people have issues with their parents. Because, their mama didn't treat them right, whatever you want to call it. The mama wasn't there. So I just don't look at that. I look at more so of how he treat his women friends, if he have sisters, if he has or the other women in his family that he says that he respects.
Okay.
And so if he and if he don't treat them right, then we have a problem. But also if he don't treat them right, he's not gonna treat me right. And he's gonna say little bitty things that are signs. And I pick up on them fast. Very fast. Because I listen.
All right. Now, let me get Pastor Henderson in there. I'm saving you for last, Apostle. Pastor Henderson?
My phone was probably muted.
I was with Dr. Kim and the sister.
I mean, she said run. Definitely, I have to walk away from that. I mean, the Lord would have to definitely give me an insight or a revelation that it wasn't what I was perceiving in my own perception. But I mean, just to know that he's not replacing his mom or his sister, to me, that's total fine.
All right.
If he's not doing it with them, well, then he wouldn't have that respect for me, and that would be something to definitely walk away from.
All right. And finally, Apostle Felicia.
Well, y'all know I'm about to go deep, and I'm about to go to number. Just got out
go
of a
it.
Relationship like that. So, one, you don't respect your mother. One, you can't respect me, but you love God. I got a problem with that. I have a big problem with that. You say you love God, and you never seen, but you see your mother, and you treat her like trash. It could also be because he's still caught up in a past relationship where that woman hurt him, and he thinks that all women outside of his mother, outside of his sister, are the same. I ain't going to run.
Wow.
I'm going to walk, but I'm going to pray for you at the same time.
Because
of damage,
now,
you see, what we
Go ahead.
What us women know, we will express our hurt and disappointment. A man won't. Some men won't. But a man who cannot respect his mother, his sister, aunts, nieces, nah, it's some damage right there.
Okay. All right. Now, Apostle Whitlow, and I know you can answer this. Has Apostle Smith made his way back? Okay. He hasn't come back yet. All right. So I guess you and I will answer this one. Let's flip the script. Beautiful, talented, independent, well-mannered, at least on the surface, for what we see for the very first time. But we find her to be exceptionally bossy, very heavily opinionated, to the point where she will be derogatory towards certain people as if those individuals were beneath her. What do we do with a woman of that caliber?
See, you wouldn't want to be you. I mean, because at the end of the day, you just don't want to be bothered. You know, you get to a point, you're like, this is not my cup of tea. I'm not going to be bothered. I'm not going to bring myself to that. I'm not going to allow myself to get involved, or I'm not going to allow myself to tolerate or any of the such. So you kind of just, you kind of shove her off, push her off, you know, and if she don't get the message, you kind of do it in a very, if you're mannish, you'll do it in a very mannish way. You'll just put another woman in front of her.
Wow. Did he say that?
Well, you know,
I'm going to approach it this way. I don't think I want to do what you just said, because I don't need the Wild Wild West breaking out in my living room. Because believe it or not, I had a situation, and you know the individual very well, Apostle Whitlow. It didn't break off in that way, but the former girlfriend showed up to my house while that individual was there. And started mouthing off, turned around, and yeah, I mean, we were finished. You know, at least I told her I was walking away, so I was polite enough to let her know that she was not the cup of tea that I thought she was, and I got to move on. This other individual showed up, and I'm going to leave her nameless for the moment, and when she showed up, we weren't an item right away. We were an item later on, but we were in the early stages of relationship in terms of talking and spending time together. This individual, I almost don't want to say this because, ladies, I don't want to be disrespectful, okay? She says, and I'm not quoting her verbatim, but I'm giving you an idea. Oh, so you spent the last 6 months taking my and sticking me in places you ain't got no business sticking me, and then you're going to leave me for this?
Mm-hmm.
I turned around and said, excuse me, that ain't got nothing to do with it. Your attitude is the real reason why I'm moving, because I just can't deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't deal with it. So my answer to what I just proposed was simply this. Just make sure she understands that we're done. I'm moving on. Should somebody come in the process, I promise you, you'll be a forgotten commodity within weeks. Yeah, I said forgotten commodity. I'm being nice, okay? I wish I could tell you I was saved all the time. But anyway, let me move past that. So
wow, you said
quelling,
weak, though. Good God.
That's well, see, the one thing, now, I said this before, and I know we're not really talking about relationships now. I'm trying to save some of this for Saturday, because Saturday, I know Apostle Whitlow got something heavy on the table, and I don't even know if we're going to be able to talk. We should be able to talk about it, but I probably won't. I better say it now, because I probably won't make the show because of the time that I'm flying. I'll be in the air when Making Marriage Meaningful comes on. But I've learned and discovered that, all right, can we talk real raw, real relevant for a minute, ladies? I need y'all's permission, all of you.
Knock yourself out.
All right, that's one. Where are the rest of you? Hello?
Go ahead.
Come on, talk to me. Okay, here we go. I've discovered that the reason why you women have these cycles, these periods, and in the midst of these cycles and these periods, you have what they call, I won't call it a mood swing, but for lack of a better word, I'm going to use mood swing. It's because in the shifting and changing, I guess it's the breaking of the eggs that causes your cycle, things like that. It causes cramps and all that stuff and changes your whole mood. Did you realize that men don't have to have sex. They need sex. And why that is, yeah. They do not have a cycle. So it's an ongoing thing with men. Ongoing. We don't have to have sex. We need sex. Women can make it a take it or leave it situation, because the situation that they're dealing with, when that menstrual cycle shows up, you better not even look in her direction. Not that they were going to have sex, but she's like, I could kill you, as if it's our fault. And when y'all get pregnant, oh, my God, that's a whole nother can of worms right there to fish with. You know, this is all your fault. Hello, it took two to tangle. Why is it all my fault? Anyway, I said all that to get to this particular point. Being who we are as individuals, both men and women, we approach things in a different manner. Women most of the time are extremely rational, but every now and then they have that loose cannon-like thing. Men, on the other end, are fairly rational, but they're always looking forward and moving forward. And it doesn't matter what's in their way. They're going to move or remove whatever it is that's stopping or blocking their progress. Our way of quelling storms is not the same as a woman's, but the bottom line is this. When it's all said and done, in the eyes of that man, however he went to quell that storm in life, as far as he's concerned, he did the best thing that he could possibly do. My challenge is this on something of that nature. Did you consider the opposition, whether it's male or female? Did you consider the opposition? Did you consider? No, more than likely not. Now, let me throw one more log on the fire. A lot of times, we can't understand how lesbians become lesbians, how gays become gays, and that all that. Usually, I'm sorry if you're listening and you're of the LBGQT, whatever the heck you are, I'm not picking on you in particular. I want you to know that. But usually, because you can't measure up to the standard of the opposite sex, you will move forward. For women, they're looking for that. Oh, God, how do I say this? Okay, y'all said I could talk plain. Women are looking for that climactic point that's going to take them to the moon and back. And when they get with Mr. 50 Pumps or Mr. 30 Pumps, the two-minute man, y'all remember the movie Waiting to Exhale? You get that guy, and he's all muscular, he looks all good, and then when he gets ready to mount up and all he says is grr before he can even get in good, that type of person? Okay, that's sexual. That's sexual. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That is sexual frustration and a storm all by itself. But when you find that one that fits like a well-tailored suit, oh, my goodness. I noticed this. I know I'm rambling, but I got too many thoughts in my head right now. That other side of the fence is this. There are those who find that right size, that right texture, that one that just knows how to get it done. And you pursue that. Not all the time, not all of you, but you pursue that. I've had this happen to me, and that's why I'm talking about it now. I'm trying to get all this dirty laundry up on here so we can get this thing washed and get them up on the on the clothesline before the sun goes down. Anyway, the bottom line was this. In that pursuit, and I'm not sure what happened that created it or caused it, but the one thing I did learn about them, you women can get aggressive, and you can create storms if you don't get your way. So anybody want to respond to that?
That could be vice versa now.
So
that can go both
my
ways.
Question is, what are we responding to? Like, what was the question? Did I miss it?
How others can create a storm for you. See, we look for the cutie side of things. I want to get to the raunchy side of things for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
When you're dealing with relationships, a lot of times if the sensuality between that man and woman is good and one wants to break off from the other, and you're right, I think that was Apostle that said that, you're right, it can be vice versa. But the sensual side is good, and then all of a sudden that one party says, I've had enough. I want to move on. And now they want to know who is he or who is she? How long have you been seeing them? Now they're starting to put notes on your car, and now they're starting to spy on you and see where it is you go and what it is you do. And if you do something, they see you with another man or a woman. I'm just going to say, you come back from the mall, you get in the car only to find out a tire is flat. You're going through that thin line between love and hate situation, that type of thing. The question, well, shoot, I don't put too much in there on that one because now I don't. Kind of buried the question a little bit, didn't I? Okay, mm-hmm. So let's back up just a little bit. Here's the question. Is it part of those who have the ability to create storms, how do you deal with them? How do you shut them up? How do you stop them from wreaking havoc in your life?
It's
That's really what I'm asking.
It's called to the courthouse nearest you and file a stalking mm-hmm. report. That's what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or better yet,
all right.
It's called call your brother because, you know, he a few sandwiches away from a picnic and he going to handle the situation. It's called you come to my house one more time. I got this 380 pointed at you and you don't even see me, but I see you. It's called get the Ring doorbell at your door and you can record every time he come to your house to see what the, I got several. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm her.
Well, I hear you on certain points and I'm scared of you on other points.
I'm gonna say
do we,
I've had
go ahead.
I've had some that has went just a little bit nutty.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't have to do any of those things. I didn't have to call nobody. I just pretty much said it's over and I ain't taking no more phone calls. But another thing is when I decided that it was over, I told the Lord that it was over too. I said, yeah, this is over. I don't want to see him anymore. I'm not going to take any of his phone calls. And so if he shows up, I'm going to let you handle it.
All right.
And most of the times when I did that, he handled it in some type of way. I didn't have to deal with none of that. I didn't have to deal with any of those type of things. It was always somebody else that was there that took care of it because I didn't have to.
All right. All right. All right, Kimmy Kim and Pastor Henderson, Apostle Whitlow, we're going to get some final remarks. I didn't realize how late it was. My. I had no clue. I wasn't even watching the time. But anything you guys want to say before we call it a day?
Well, I just want to say great discussion.
Okay.
Now you can't take my comments. Oh, you're biting. You're
you
biting.
Know what? Yeah. Oh, listen to this. Listen to
I'm
this.
I'm the older one.
No. Okay. We'll let you have that one. He said he's the older one. But, you know, of course, she could throw out the ladies first thing. But anyway,
yeah, okay.
I do well, she can, whether you acknowledge it or not, it's another story.
Yeah, that's so funny. What am I going to do with y'all?
Well, listen, we just kind of try to be real about
it. I just want to say it was a great time. I really, sometimes there are good times when we need to just have a open mic.
Just a
and
open mic. Yes.
Amazing. Yeah. I really loved the discussion on the storms, and I know for a fact in my life that I agree with all three of the storms formation. And
mm-hmm.
what I've come to realize is I must stay prayed up, and that is why it must be a daily thing to diligently seek the Lord, because the
yeah.
moment that you get off the boat and you don't have the whole armor of God on you, you're going to be ate up by the ways
the
of
element.
Life. And I just want to say this was awesome, and I love these type of discussions where you could just be real. So awesome, awesome, awesome.
Oh, anybody else have any comments? Pastor Henderson, and I heard you, Miss Chanel. And I guess Apostle or Smith never made it back.
I just want to say, whatever storm you find yourself in, trust the Lord in that storm, because God knows how to work it all together for your good, and he's able to calm every storm. And sometimes we just have to forget those things which are behind when we come through the storm and just trust God to take us further in the journey, and so that it will all make sense. You know, it all makes sense as he leads and guides. A lot of times we go through things and don't understand why you're in this storm, but if you come out of the storm and everything clears, God can just show you step what it all meant, and it takes you to the next level in him. And trust God in the storm.
All right. I bless God for you. Any closing remarks, Apostle Whitlow?
No, I think I said it, and then somebody tried to take it from me.
Okay, I'm going
to
leave that alone. I hear you.
And we do have Apostle Smith back, too, so he's back as well. I'm sorry.
All right, Apostle Smith.
Storm doesn't last.
Now, go ahead. If storm don't last, I agree with you. All right, Apostle Smith, we know you missed quite a bit, but any final comments concerning quelling the storms of life?
Well, if you're in a storm, you better make it through. Unless you can swim, you can't make it. Storms come, storms go. But what you do in the storm is what's going to matter.
Amen. Amen. Let me close by saying this. I want to look at the way of the eagle. As believers, we do have a responsibility to present ourselves in the presence of Almighty God. We were told to be imitators of God as dear children, to walk in the love of God, to always, on every situation, in every circumstance, try to display the absolute nature of Christ. Here it is with the way of the eagle. A lot of you already know this, so I'm just going to say it right here. When an eagle anticipates a storm, the eagle never flies into the storm. The eagle flies above the storm. And he doesn't fly above the storm. When he gets above the storm, the eagle glides. He lets the wind of that storm cause him to glide. What am I saying to us? This too shall pass. So in the process, glide. Because in the middle of that storm, God is going to show you some very valuable lessons. There are some lessons for when we're walking on the water, no matter how choppy it looks, no matter how the billows roll and the breakers are dashing. None of that means anything. But there is a way to walk. Stay focused on Jesus. Yeah, I know. I said a whole lot right there. Stay focused on Jesus. I want to whoop somebody's tail. Yeah, well, see, that's the problem. If you don't stay focused on Jesus, you'll end up either beating somebody's tail or getting your tail beat. But be like the eagle and fly above the storm. You're better than that. You don't need to be in the middle. If it's God-led, God-bred, God will bring you through it. Grow through what you go through, as I said earlier. If it's a man-made storm, fly above it. The final thing I'm going to say, and it's out of Proverbs. I'm trying to remember the chapter and verse. I could see the verse in my mind, but I don't know exactly where it is, and maybe I'll call you 2 o'clock in the morning to tell you what it is. But it simply says, whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein. If someone else is responsible for the storm created in and around your stratosphere, above it, because that individual is destined to become the victim of the pit they've dug. I'm Bishop-elect Ernest D. Richard. You've been listening to the Pastor's Corner. We thank each and every one of our panelists. Special thanks to Chief Apostle Vincent L. Smith, Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr., to Apostle Felicia. And I'm saying Apostle now because she's just less than 24 hours from her affirmation. Apostle Felicia Flight, to Pastor Anna Henderson, to Lady Chanel Robinson, and, of course, to the most wonderful producer you could ever ask for, Dr. Kimmy Robinson. Don't forget to join Apostle Whitlow. Are you doing your show this Saturday, Apostle Whitlow?
It all depends on what the Lord does while we are in Powder Springs, because I know there's going to be something that's going to happen when we with that powder and the springs are flowing. Hallelujah.
Lord Jesus, I ain't messing with him. Well, keep an eye out for Making Marriage Meaningful. And if not, we will see you on The Voice on next Tuesday. And don't forget, Shabbat Saturday with Apostle Dawn Westbrook at 3 p.m. So you have shows that you can tune into, and there are so many others. Sister Loretta Pettit, I think she comes on Thursdays at 5 p.m. You know what, Sister Kimmy Kim, I'm just looking at all these branches that have come from the pastor's corner. I should be a proud papa, but I'm going to let it go because everybody's doing what they do best, and that's sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You guys have a blessed night. Kimmy Kim, I'm not going to ask you to drop it like it's hot. I'm just going to say drop it. The Lord bless you. Guys, have a good night. Shalom. Shalom.
You wonder if you made the right choice.
Made the right choice.
You wonder if you're on the right course.
Wonder if you're on the right course.
Did you,
hear
his voice?
His voice.
Then you hear in that
still voice.
Trust the process.
Trust the process.
That's all it is. Just the process. Just know
you are
the healing bomb for someone else. And in this life, friends will come and friends will go. And you wonder why this pain day in and day out. Why does it seem to stay? Will these issues and trials go away? But then he'll speak to you in that still small voice. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
That's all it is
just the process. Just the process.
Not just for a house and not just for a car, but it's for you to be an encouragement to somebody else. Remember that time you was going through, somebody encouraged you. So now it's your time to be a healing ball for someone else. You wonder why friends walked away. And you wonder why these trials seem to stay. And where these issues and these burdens that I carry day in and day out. And you hear, I hear God, trust the process. There's a reason for it all. Just trust it.
Someone
else. My own testimony is there was a time in my life where I was hopeless. There was a time that I didn't know which way to go. I wanted to give up and throw in the towel. But then I remember my mother saying, God, put a song in your soul. Put a song in your spirit. Let the going may get rough and the going may get tough. The heels, they're hard to climb.
Oh,
yeah. Because